lives. We can let down our hair. The moon is high and we are lunatics now. It's deep in the safe harbor. It's Dark 30. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and now is the time you should turn off the radio if you don't want to potentially hear some outrageous material, because this is when we kick back down a shot of hard liquor and try to have some fun. And I am your creepy guide across the river Styx.
Abandon all hope.
That he going to give you something to drink now. In the studio with producer Hardwood Forrest Connor, and we have investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. Shelley Wright, do you ever want to walk the Appalachian Trail?
No.
No?
I just don't.
You're not much of a hiker, huh?
No.
Mm-hmm. And so, what is the farthest you've ever hiked?
I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. I've hiked trails before, but I have no idea what they were or where they were.
You've hiked up to Table Rock and
oh,
all around
yes.
that area.
Oh, yes.
That can be a very strenuous hike.
It was very strenuous. Heinous.
Yeah. In fact, you know, a funny story that I enjoy telling people. A few years ago, we were doing an experiment in which, of course, a lot of people see these Brown Mountain-type lights around the Linville Gorge. And we had some great pictures of strange lights that had been captured by people standing at Wiseman's View looking across the Linville Gorge around Table Rock. We had two or three spots where there were lights, and we were trying to determine what they were. So we thought the best way to pinpoint them was to put Forrest here on one side of the gorge with a big green laser. And Forrest was going to shoot this laser at the spots on the other side of the gorge where the lights were seen as he was using these photographs as a reference. In the meantime, on the opposite side of the gorge, there was a small group of us who were trying to locate the spots on the mountain where his laser were hitting. And Shelley Wright, you and I were the two sort of principal trekkers who were running around in the woods trying to find Forrest's laser.
That was actually fun.
And it almost seemed like an impossible task.
It did.
Well, we left out, like, said, okay, we left out from Asheville and said, okay, we're going to meet here. I'm going to go here. I'm going to be here at this time.
Yeah.
And you guys are going to be here at this place at this one time.
Yeah.
I arrived at my location about 10 minutes earlier, so I was like, okay, start shutting the laser, nothing. And then, of course, I get an audience with me of what's going on there eventually. And about you guys, I mean, you guys probably showed up about 20, 30 minutes after you were supposed to actually be at that one point.
Yeah, well, you know, we'd spent hours trying to run through the woods and find this laser point because, I mean, it's one thing to look at a two-dimensional picture of a mountain. It's another thing to be standing on the three-dimensional form of the mountain with ridges against ridges and cliffs and all this stuff. At night, tearing through brush, I mean, it was pretty rough. Finally, Shelley and I, we tore out of the brush on the side of this mountain, and we came out at this one spot, and I'll never forget it. Your laser light hit me on the chest. So this is you were probably like 2 miles away or something like that.
Right.
I forget how far it was. And boom, we were like, wow, we have found the site where Forrest is shooting the laser. And then I realize there's something odd about this location. I look over, and there's a tent right there. And there were the remnants of a campfire. And we realized, oh, man, well, this is a camp. So probably the light in the picture is just a campfire. But at that point, the tent unzips. We're like, oh, no. And some guy comes stumbling, you know, half awake out of the tent. We don't know, is this going to be a hostile encounter or what, you know? So the guy says something like, what's going on? And I was like, oh, we're so sorry to bother you. We're doing some scouting for a show, and we're in the area here in the mountains and blah, blah, blah. So the guy's about to go back into his tent, and I figure, well, what the heck, I may as well ask him. I said, so have you seen any strange lights around this area? And the guy says, yeah, come to think of it, I have. All night there's been this weird green light flashing outside my tent. And I was like, oh, and I almost told him what was going on, but then I didn't have the heart to say, well, let me explain. There's an a-hole with a laser about 2 miles away, and he's been shooting it at your tent all night because we're trying to solve an ancient mystery. So to this day, we just told him, oh, good night. This guy is probably running around out there with this amazing story if he knows the lore now about seeing the mysterious green light that was flashing on his outside his tent all night.
Well, I was surprised that we actually had radio contact that far away.
Yeah, yeah. It worked. And actually, the system, it seemed very simple, and it was more complex when we got on the ground, but ultimately it worked.
I'm surprised we lived.
Well, we found that spot, and we did rule out one of these pictures. How else are you going to do that, right?
Well, exactly.
So we were like, okay, this was not a brown mountain light. This was most likely a campfire that this particular image was showing us. So, yeah, that's the nature of adventure. And I'm sure that at Wright's Coin Shop, Shelley, you have a lot of listeners who come in.
Yes.
And I imagine these kinds of war stories come up about adventures and investigations that we have had, right?
Yeah, from time to time.
So, speaking of Wright's Coin Shop, we of course have a special work of art. It's on the wall there now, right?
It is almost on the wall. Oh, it is there.
What the heck? This whole week, she's wasted a whole week.
No, it is perfectly visible.
Okay, so it's visible at the shop.
Yes.
A special work of personally signed Joshua P. Warren, one-of-a-kind unique art.
Yes.
But you got to go in there if you want to see what it is. And you said you had some listeners that came in, but they got things a little mixed up.
They
right?
did. They well, did. They thought that we had a coin that was up for bid.
Mm-hmm.
Only from speaking of strange listeners, and they came in wanting to see the coin that everyone could bid on. Yes.
And so when you explained to them, no, it's not a coin. It's a work of grand art. And then were they just crestfallen?
Yeah, their faces kind of fell. You know, you think you got a coin. Well, I'm not saying it's not a perfectly wonderful piece of art.
Right, right.
But when you're thinking it might be some rare coin with some sort of paranormal history.
You should have just gone with it, Shelley. You should have been like, oh, yes, here's the mystical coin that we brought back from Transylvania.
Uh-huh.
And we got this from an old gypsy woman, and she said, good luck will befall whoever owns it. Did you at least sell a coin to those people?
I think I did.
Okay, I get half of that money then, right? That was our agreement, right? okay, it is still there if somebody wants to go and to check it out at Wright's Coin Shop. How are things going at Wright's Coin Shop?
Things are going very well. It's been very busy.
Mm-hmm.
The market has been down, which is a great time to buy.
Yes.
Don't panic. Just stay the course and keep buying.
Yeah, that's the idea. You buy when it's low, you sell when it's high.
Exactly. Yeah. Unfortunately, people kind of get that mixed up.
Yeah, that is weird, which I guess that's good for you, but bad for people who don't understand that it's to their benefit to buy when it's low and sell when it's high.
Right. And we buy and sell according to the market, so we don't play the market. So whatever
is going,
you're
not like making more profit or something like that.
Right. We're not. We're
so the only person who benefits is just the buyer then.
Yeah.
But the buyer, a smart buyer who knows this. So basically people should rush to Wright's Coin Shop on Monday and
yes.
start buying gold and silver.
Exactly.
So for people who want to do that and to check out this magnificent, mysterious work of art.
Beautiful work of art.
We're not going to tell you what it is on the radio. You have to go to Wright's Coin Shop to see it. And then you can buy it if you're lucky. If we let you take it home. We're very selective about who gets this.
Yes.
How can people find you and see this work of art, Shelley?
Come and see me at the coin shop at 1271 Sweeten Creek Road
mm-hmm.
in Asheville.
Mm-hmm. 1271 Sweeten Creek Road.
Yes. And you can call me. I'm not going to tell you what the work of art is what it looks like, but you can call me at 828-298-5402.
So write that down, everybody. You can call Shelley if you need to, or you can just drop by. Her number there is 828-298-5402. Again, that's 828-298-5402. Or you can go to WrightsCoinShop.com. That's WRIGHTS, CoinShop.com. There's a map there, all the information that you will need to locate Shelley, and people can also email the store through that site.
Yes.
Yeah, WrightsCoinShop.com. You know, I've always thought it was weird when people talk about a love child. and I don't know, there's just something funny about that terminology, love child. This means that usually a baby was not planned.
Right.
And probably the way that it was conceived.
See John Edwards.
Yeah. It was not exactly maybe condoned by the society in which it was conceived at that point in time. So a baby gets born, and it wasn't really supposed to be born under these circumstances, so now it's a love child, right?
Right.
Anybody here have a love child?
Not that I'm aware of.
Wait till you're an adult to figure out that Forrest is your dad. That way, maybe he won't have to put you through college or something like that. As a matter of fact, that's the thing. Hopefully, your kid, your love child, will become a doctor and then find you, and then you can make up say, hey, it was a love child scenario, and so now you have to, love me back a little bit and take care of your old Bob here. Well, listen, I've got a love child story for you when we come back that is pretty strange, which is why we are talking about it on this program. It's actually historic, and I'm kind of surprised that it's taken this long for this love child story to emerge. I will tell you all about it when we return. You're listening to the Dark 30 Hour when we dig into some of the more sordid and seedy and controversial stuff. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Stay tuned to hear all about it when we come back here on Speaking of Strange.
And start sometime around midnight, or at least that's when he was just out for a minute or two. As you stand under the bar light. The neighborhood was changing.
Dark 30 Hour on Speaking of Strange. And I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, in the studio with producer Forrest Connor and investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. And let me remind you, the Dark 30 Hour is when we talk about some of the more outrageous and controversial news, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. So tune out if you are connected to those scenarios. And also let me remind you, if you go to speakingofstrange.com, you will find more information on topics discussed, a live chat during the show, and links to some of the stuff that we wholeheartedly support, like the Sunshine Simple solar generator for the home, the world's most powerful solar generator for the best price, made by my team and I, and my team and myself. And also the Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours. If you're in the Asheville area, you should check them out and come visit the museum there, hauntedasheville.com. All that stuff linked up at speakingofstrange.com. So, Shelley Wright, have you ever dated a kind of a really like stocky, muscular, bulky, hairy man?
No.
Never once?
Nope.
Forrest, have you?
No.
That would be very, what's the term, if you love yourself too much? I can't remember the word.
Narcissistic,
yeah. Okay. That'd be narcissistic. You're actually a tall guy. But you're kind of hairy. You kind of got a little bit of that big thing going on. Well, do you know that a tall Neanderthal was about 5.5 feet tall? That's about as big as they would get. And very, very muscular. Very compact, dense muscles. So it's my understanding that a Neanderthal man was usually about 3 times stronger than a Homo sapien. So you do not want to wrestle with this guy. And I've always thought it was amazing that there was this period of time when the Neanderthal culture overlapped with Homo sapiens, and that we, Homo sapiens, actually killed out the Neanderthals. And even though the Neanderthals were stronger than us, because Homo sapiens were taller and had longer arms, we could throw spears farther. It always comes down to who can hurl the projectile farthest. And so we sort of speared them to death over time and wiped out the Neanderthals. It also, apparently, there was a study done in 2007 that indicates that many of the Neanderthals had red hair and pale skin, which is kind of odd because you always see Neanderthals as looking really kind of dark and hairy. Right. So I don't know how they figured that out. So here's this story from Fox News. For the first time in history, the love child of a human and Neanderthal has been found. And it's not surprising that they would get it on. It may seem surprising, but hey, look, we read stories about guys getting it on with every creature under the sun. So, something that looks roughly human, why not?
Why not?
You know? So, and also, maybe not surprisingly, they say it was a female Neanderthal who mated with a male Homo sapien. Again, not surprising that it would be the man who would probably go for the Neanderthal woman versus the other way around, if that makes sense to you the way it makes sense to me. Skeletal remains of an individual living in northern Italy 40,000 to 30,000 years ago are this human Neanderthal hybrid. First one ever found. And they say that the mitochondrial DNA is Neanderthal. And since the DNA is transmitted from mother to child, that's how they concluded it was a female Neanderthal and a male Homo sapien. And so, you know, they're going down the list of, you know, pretty much like scientific scenarios here. But I'm thinking, like, do we really call this a love child?
I think so.
A human banged a Neanderthal and we have a love child?
I don't think so.
I mean, it's back then, I doubt there were many rules about banging Neanderthals in general, I would imagine. And I don't see love entering into this scenario under any circumstances.
No.
But that's what they say. But then again, it's Fox News, so maybe they had to put, you know, a more acceptable spin on this. Neanderthal love child. Okay. Next story. Where are we going to go? Hey, why beat around the bush? Let's go straight to Lake County, Florida. There's our Florida bell. This is an awkward story, they say. Apparently, a hotline that has been released for victims of sexual assault and domestic battery, unfortunately, as it turns out, is a phone sex hotline.
Ooh,
yeah,
bad.
Yeah. And this has been handed out for years.
They're just now finding out.
Yeah. Yeah. Crime victims have been given this pamphlet for years. How could that go on for years? It says here, the person who finally reported this to the sheriff's department says, she calls the line and it says, "Welcome to America's hottest talk line. Ladies, to talk to interesting and exciting guys, free, press 1 now."
Okay.
Et cetera, et cetera. That almost seems like an intentional...
It does.
You know, something really nasty.
Some disgruntled guy that was making out these pamphlets said, "Hey, I'm going to do this. It'll be a funny joke for a couple weeks. They won't know what happened to it." But it's been going on for years.
Years.
Years. Says the sheriff's office has distributed thousands of these flyers over the years. And obviously, you know, now that this has been exposed, one of the people who is in charge of the organization that actually helps victims says, oh, they're shocked and stunned that they've never even had a 1-800 number, apparently. So now they've reprinted the flyer with a new number.
Good.
Yeah. How do things like that happen?
You know, I had a phone number one time that was one digit off from the Substance Abuse Treatment Center.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what are some calls?
I would just get random calls. Oh, this is such and such. I'm supposed to meet you at whatever time. Just mostly appointments. One time it was a little bit more than that. I talked to somebody on the telephone and yeah, it was... It's kind of weird.
You know, some people would have fun with that, but...
Did you ever try to help anybody? Did you try to counsel somebody?
I did talk to somebody one time. I don't even remember anything about it. I remember it was right in the middle of celebrating my mom's birthday, and I get this phone call, and I couldn't say, "Hey, I really got to go. I got a celebration to get back to." But that's all I remember about it.
So somebody out there once called, and Shelley Wright's voice picks up on the other line, and she's giving you advice on your substance abuse problem.
Good advice.
Okay. Well, let's go while we're at it, while we're on a roll. How about another story from Palm Bay, Florida? How's this for a headline? Homeless woman poops in man's yard, bathes naked in pool on her way to see Obama. Wow, he is the Antichrist.
Ew.
35-year-old woman says, according to police, the homeowner reported seeing the woman on his home surveillance system, and she came right through and defecated right there and then took off her clothes and got into the swimming pool. And then when the cops finally arrived, she said, oh, she was just passing through anyway on her way to D.C. to yell at President Obama. She has been taken to the sheriff's department. And we're going to take a break. When we come back, you know, we love these stories about people who have their pants off and that's it. And we've got one when we come back from Texas. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the Dark 30 Hour on Speaking of Strange.
Doucement, sans faire de bruit, comme on réveille la pluie, je vais prendre ta douleur, prendre ta douleur, je vais prendre ta douleur. Elle lutte, elle se débat, mais ne résistera pas, je vais bloquer l'ascenseur, prendre ta douleur, je vais prendre.
People, why is it that, you know, if you're going to get naked, just get naked? Why just take your pants off? Forrest, when you get home at night and it's time to undress,
right,
do you take off your shirt or your pants first?
Probably my shirt. It just depends on what it just depends on what the situation is, sir.
Okay, how about you, Shelley Wright? Do you take off your top or your bottoms first?
Usually it's my top.
I take off my shirt before I take off my pants. It's not an intentional move.
Right.
But there's just something weird about being pantsless. By the way, this is the Dark 30 Hour. on Speaking of Strange. So this is our little warning to you. This is when we talk about things that are a little more maybe controversial, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. Sometimes these are news stories that are more sordid and seedy, so tune out, okay, if you don't want to hear this type of news being reported. That's why we save it for late at night. And if you think we make these stories up, just go to speakingofstrange.com, and you can usually go to our Facebook page, and you can find some of these stories as well. So, yeah, pantsless people are committing a lot of crimes now. And this is from Gilmer, Texas. So police there are looking for a burglary suspect. You know, Shelley, you said to me earlier that you knew it was springtime when something in particular happens. Do you want to repeat that?
Oh, when the Tasty Freeze opens.
When the ice cream shop. That's,
yeah,
around here. That's, I don't know, it's Tasty Freeze everywhere. I don't know.
I don't know, but it's like everything in my world.
It's an ice cream shop.
Mm-hmm.
And so, did you go by there? Did you have some ice cream?
No, I didn't realize that. I was driving to the studio tonight, and I just happened to see it, and it just filled me with happiness.
Well, you know, on the last show, we had a story about an ice cream binger who broke into a church and ate all the ice cream, and then they just saw this guy stumbling down the street covered in ice cream.
Ice cream coma.
Yeah. Now this guy, he breaks into a Dairy Queen about 3:15 in the morning, and somehow the police got notified, and they arrive, and the guy goes running off, and they realize he has no pants on. He breaks into a Dairy Queen with no pants, and they say as he was running off, he also ran out of his shoes. So what? That's like the pants were off and the shoes. That's even harder to pull off.
Well, first of all, in a restaurant, no pants, ew. But maybe he thought he could run faster without pants. I hope he's wearing some underwear.
Well, yeah, I'm sure he could. Well, no, I don't know. They kind of give the impression that there was, you know, he
dangly
was.
Dangly bits.
Exactly, as they say in England, yeah. And so, therefore, here's this guy. All I'm thinking is somehow or other, he breaks into the Dairy Queen, of all places. His pants come off, but the shoes stay on, which is an even weirder thing to associate with Dairy Queen. And then he's running down the street, and then he runs out of the shoes. The pants retrieve the shoes, and the cops retrieve the pants and the shoes. And he's still on the loose.
He got away?
Yeah, he got away. How about that?
Hmm.
Okay, well, here's another crazy story. This comes to us from Lilburn, Georgia. Apparently, a 22-year-old man had been working at a Sherwin-Williams paint store for about 2 months. And now this man, one day, decided to get a little frisky with another man who works at the Sherwin-Williams. So, the guy here, our criminal, he goes to the other man and starts to try to give him a hug. And the co-worker is rebuffing him, they say, and then he starts trying to kiss the guy. At this point, the co-worker says that the crazy man, we'll just call him at this point, reaches down to grab the other guy's jewels, okay, his sensitive parts, his manhood. So at this point, the co-worker gets the guy in a headlock, but the crazy man breaks out of the headlock and then just starts stripping down naked inside the paint store. Now, they say that several customers who were parked in a truck in the parking lot, including a couple of children aged 7 and 14, are looking through the window. They see this man stripping down, and here's what the news story says. Quote, he went to the front glass and stripped himself of all his clothing. He then began to press his nude buttocks against the glass, and then turned around and placed his nude genitals against the glass, performing the act several times before running out and attempting to jump on the hood of the truck, pulling its door handles and making a pelvic thrust toward the car.
Usually at this point, it's bad. They're naked, they're jumping on your car, and usually your face is about to get eaten off.
I know. It sounds like one of these stories. And again, didn't last week we have a story about a guy at a wedding who strips down and starts pressing his parts on the glass and a nice big smushed out two-dimensional, it's a suction cup of a kind. There we go. And so the cops, of course, finally get to this location. And one officer says, as he approached this crazy man, the crazy man punched the cop in the chest. At this point, the cop pulls out a taser, tasers the guy. They say that he continued to struggle and thrash wildly, and they eventually detained him and charged him with 6 different crimes, including 2 felonies.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they don't know what was up with this guy. He's just crazy.
Maybe he'd been sniffing the paint. But he just, you know, one day, I mean, you'd think that if the guy held a job like that for 2 months, he had some rationality about him. And then one day, this, it goes from I'm the guy who works at Sherwin-Williams the mix master here, the guy you would trust to advise you on how to redecorate your living room, perhaps, and then you realize, oh, no, this is why my house looks like crap. It was that guy.
It was that guy.
Who was giving me all my paint advice. Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, you're right, Shelley. That sounds just like the beginning of one of those zombie-esque stories where the guy breaks down, next thing you know, naked man's eating the face. If the cops hadn't arrived,
who knows?
Maybe it would have gone to that next step. Speaking of the dude who, actually, never mind. I was going to reflect on, we hadn't gotten an update on some of the guys who have done the zombie thing, but that's the weird part about it. You don't get a lot of updates on this after the fact.
Right.
I mean, one of the guys was killed by the cops, but there were several other guys who zombied out and they ate people, and then you never hear, like, what's their explanation
Six
for that?
6 months
now?
Later, where are they at?
Yeah, where are they now? Okay, here's a story from Westbury, Connecticut. This is about a priest, a 61-year-old priest, and some people are now calling him Monsignor Meth. And that is because that he apparently was selling over $300,000 worth of methamphetamine over a period of 6 months. They say he was busted by an undercover cop six times, this guy. So they tracked the business he's conducting, and they ask him, why are you, father, selling $300,000 in methamphetamine? He said it was to open a sex toy shop and an adult video store. The adult video store was to be called Land of Oz, and the sex toy shop was to be called Dorothy's Place.
Wow.
Apparently, gosh, when this kind of stuff happens to somebody like a priest, there's a big cover-up that kind of kicks in on how to deal with this. But they say that those who knew him said that he had had some erratic behavior in his past, so it wasn't a complete shocker. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be in the final minutes of tonight's show, and I'm going to give you three last stories, one from Oregon, one from the United Kingdom, and one from St. Charles, Missouri. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual, and this is the Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. We'll wrap up right after this.
But I'm in the armpit of nowhere. Yeah, well, I meet you some guy who says he has the latest thing in pop music. Yeah. I know. Yeah.
We'll be right back.
in the final minutes of tonight's Speaking of Strange. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is what we call the Dark 30 Hour. So we save some of the more outrageous and controversial stories for late at night. This is not for children. It is not for the easily offended. Some of these stories are a little more sordid and seedy, so, you know, don't listen until the next hour begins with a brand new show of some kind that might be a little more family friendly. But also keep in mind, go to speakingofstrange.com to stay updated on various weird news around the world. Okay, Portland, Oregon, pretty strange. Apparently a school there has reclassified six bathrooms there. This is a K-12 school. As unisex, that's right, unisex bathrooms in a K-12 school. Now, at first, I read this and I thought, my God, are you telling me you're going to let boys and girls go use the same bathroom? Well, they claim that actually each one is just it's a one-seater, it's a single stall. Why do this? It's because they have so many transgender students. How about that? K-12. That's the world that we're living in now. That would be sort of unfathomable to those of us sitting in here in our 30s and 40s. But to think of a bathroom being converted into something that a boy or a girl could go into because you have so many transgender kids, that's odd. But let me tell you a really nasty bathroom story. We all just love McDonald's stories, don't we?
Oh, yes.
There's nothing quite as American as a wacky story about McDonald's. It all begins with the Chicken McNuggets, doesn't it?
It does.
That's what Commander Y reminds us of so frequently. And when's the last time you went into a McDonald's bathroom and said, wow, this is so clean I could eat off the floor?
Said no one ever.
Aren't McDonald's restrooms, they're just the ones that you stop at when you're on a trip. Because you know you can just bounce in there, pee, and leave, and the 17-year-old at the counter is not going to say anything to you, and you're justifying, like, I've eaten enough burgers in my life. I can come in here and pee if I want to today, even though I might not be buying a burger at this moment. Right, Shelley, right?
Right.
So imagine this. In the UK, a mother, a 42-year-old mother of two, went into the bathroom, into the ladies' room at McDonald's, and they say she came running out with a horrified look on her face because when she and her kids went in, they found a man and woman on the floor doing it in the McDonald's bathroom.
Ew.
How romantic is that, huh? Of all places. It says that the lady was in a skirt suit and the man was in a suit. She says that they looked late 30s. Not even like, you know, little dumb kids necessarily. Old enough to know better. And it's just that is gross on so many levels.
Yes,
I can't even begin to understand that mentality. Last story from St. Charles, Missouri. Forrest, you ever heard of a thing called the Whizinator?
No.
A guy in the St. Louis area, he's facing criminal charges because cops caught him taking a drug test with a big fake tallywhacker, and it's called the Whizinator. Now, as it turns out, in 2010, a guy from Los Angeles was making these things to help people pass drug tests, and they say he was sentenced to 6 months in federal prison for running that company, but now the Whizinator is still sold, except now they say it's a sex toy. So people are buying these big fake ding-dongs and bringing them into the cops to pass their drug tests. And that's going to do it for this edition of the program. I thank Brian Hall Forrest Connor, John Anderson, Mobius, and Kuka. This is Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual. Till next time, we will be at speakingofstrange.com. Sign up for the free e-newsletter and Twitter, and tune in next week for a brand new one. You are commanded!
I like to see you.